In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. We hear part two of the interview with numerology expert Zachary Hubbard. In our last interview, we covered some basics of how the English alphabet is coded and using gematria ciphers to decode events through names of cities, people involved, and strangely repeated words in news headlines. The cipher converts the letters into numbers, and those numbers then reveal a pattern. Some numbers repeat, such as 33, 22, 119, 911, 1111, and 201, to name a few. In part one, we talked about how it might be possible for an artificial intelligence, maybe a quantum computer, to load all potential coded events by processing the data within a template of the ancient practice of astrology, numerology, and sacred geometry. A list of potential events to be staged could be generated each month or year with varying order of intensity to be sorted out. For the past 20 years, our guest, Zachary Hubbard, has been studying the effects of this occult practice that gives us a glimpse into the larger elements embedded into the fabric of modern human culture. Zach Hubbard has learned to decode this matrix spell, and he's been teaching those who want to learn through social media and his site, gematriaeffect.news. He's the author of Number Games, 9/11 to Coronavirus, and Letters and Numbers, How English's Numerical Code Reveals the Scripting of History, Election, Rigged Sports, and More. Zach Hubbard, welcome back to Another News.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. This is part two, and there are numbers that show up repeatedly, such as 33, 119, 201, and 106. Many listeners at this point are familiar with Event 201, hosted by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security in partnership with the World Economic Forum. From their site, it's described as a 3.5-hour pandemic tabletop exercise that simulated a series of dramatic, scenario-based, facilitated discussions confronting difficult, true-to-life dilemmas associated with response to a hypothetical but scientifically plausible pandemic. And as in many false flag events, this simulation occurred in October 2019, months prior to the official announcement of the engineered pandemic. And interestingly, as an aside, according to the National Herald in India, Bill Gates is denying a simulated exercise ever occurred. But would you please talk about these numbers that keep showing up in the cipher, starting with 201?
So 201 is a very special number to the Jesuit order. And the main host of Event 201 was actually Klaus Schwab. A lot of people are familiar with that name, the leader of the World Economic Forum, who is Jesuit educated. The reason you can tell that the number 201 is important to the Jesuits is because we're living in the time of the first Jesuit pope, Pope Francis, and he's also the first pope to ever live in Suite 201 at the Vatican. And if you dig into the Jesuit history, you'll find that their order was preserved in the time of their suppression by Catherine the Great, the leader of Russia, and their official history is that she preserved the order with 201 Jesuit priests. And as we got into the last time I was on your show, we talked about gematria, the Kabbalistic practice of coding numbers into words, which is as simple as A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, up to Z, the 26 letters, 26. If you write out the name of the Jesuit founder, Ignatius of Loyola, the letters of his name add up to 201. And if you add up the letters of Pope Francis's birth name, Jorge Mario Bergoglio, his name adds up to 201. In Gematria, you can also run the alphabetic order in reverse. Z is 1, back to A is 26. If you do that, the Jesuit order equals 201. And this number is very relevant all throughout their history. We're coming up on the anniversary of April 19th, the anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing in 95. And that event was blamed on Timothy McVeigh. First of all, April 19th is the day in history that Ignatius of Loyola became the first superior general of the Jesuits. The name Timothy McVeigh has gematria of 201. For people who aren't aware, the brother of the governor of Oklahoma City, well, the governor at the time was Keating, who was Jesuit educated like Bill Clinton. They both went to Georgetown. But the brother of the governor at the time wrote a book called The Final Jihad. I'd encourage anybody to look up this book. It's almost as thick as the Bible. And in the book, there's a character named Tom McVeigh that blows up the same building with a moving truck loaded with fertilizer. And the publishing date was very close to the time of the incident. And it's obvious it took him a long time to write because it's a very big book. But it's a major league coincidence. In addition to Timothy McVeigh equaling 201, so does Terry Lynn Nichols, 201, and Richard Snell also equals 201. He was executed by the state of Oklahoma the day the Oklahoma City bombing happened, and what he was executed for was attempting to carry out a plot to blow up the same building in 1983. Timothy McVeigh was sentenced to death on June 13th, the day leaving 201 days left in the year. And funny enough, capital punishment also has gematria of 201. And so does the word triclavianism, which is the old Roman form of capital punishment. And if you're familiar with the Jesuits logo, it is the sun with the letters IHS and three nails, which represents triclavianism, crucifying people with three nine-inch nails. So, again, this 201 number, very important to the Jesuit order, and it's a number you'll find around rituals that you could say are meant to inspire fear, from Event 201, a coronavirus pandemic simulation, to, say, a September 11th, 2001, where two towers became zero before they eventually became one. If you look into the Jesuit motto at Georgetown, it is both into one, kind of like 201. And the idea of it is, you know, taking competing ideas and merging it into one system, which might remind you of one world order or a new world order. And again, the Jesuits do serve the Catholic Church. It might make you think of the New Testament. But this 201, it's such a massive number. The first major gun control legislation in this nation's history came 201 days after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., who again was killed on the anniversary of Martin Luther becoming a Catholic priest who later resented the church and led the Protestant Reformation against the church. And again, he wrote the 95 Theses only to be killed on the 95th day of 1968, 3 days before the Club of Rome was established. This 201 number in shootings, it's happened a lot. Last year, you had the Buffalo Top shooting 201 days after Hillary Clinton's birthday, who's also Jesuit educated. Why measure from Hillary's birthday? Well, because she cut the ribbon when they opened that store in Buffalo, New York, which was a big political story because of how that neighborhood had been cut off from having a grocery store by the construction of Interstate 33, which runs through there. You had the Uvalde shooting 10 days after Buffalo, which was 201 days after Matthew McConaughey's birthday. He went to the White House and held up green Converse, which happens to have gematria of 201, in the time of Joe Biden, whose Secret Service name is Celtic. And for people who missed it, Joe Biden, the day he announced he was running for president, John Havlicek of the Celtics dropped dead 17 days after his birthday, kind of like how he wore the number 17 and NBA equals 17 in gematria. But Joe Biden, who's Jesuit educated, who's from Scranton, Pennsylvania, that's where The Office, the hit TV show on NBC set that ran 201 episodes, and in nearly every episode you see the Jesuit prep school's flag in the episode. Donald Trump, who's also Jesuit educated, he buried his wife last year on the 201st day of the year. They once had their first child together, Donald Jr., on the 201st day of Trump's age. With regards to, you know, what's happened that's taken over the world stage since COVID after event 201 was Russia-Ukraine. And if you go back and look at the timeline, you'll see that Joe Biden went to the European Union, which happens to equal 201, the European Union, 201 days after his own birthday, and warned Russia not to invade Ukraine. And then later that year, Biden and Putin met on Pearl Harbor Day of all days, December 7th, which was 201 days after the first Jesuit Ignatian year ever began. The first Jesuit Ignatian year began May 20th, 2021, and went through July 31st, 2022. May 20th is the day in history Ignatius of Loyola was shot with a cannonball. July 31st is the day in history that he died. So it ran more than a typical calendar year, but they did that for the 500th anniversary of him being shot with a cannonball. 201 days after the first ever Jesuit Ignatian year began, Joe Biden met with Putin about not invading Russia-Ukraine, or not invading Ukraine, excuse me. And then when they did invade, they invaded the Donbas region, which equals 201 in gematria. And then, funny enough, 1 year to the day of Biden warning Putin not to go into Ukraine, which again was 201 days after Biden's birthday, the headline for the world was Russia officially takes over Donbas region. And again, the 201s are nonstop. I've just given you a short list. Here we are this week with another mass shooting in Louisville, and the district representative, Gerald Neal, for where the shooting happened, District 33, he was on his 201st day of his age. And the current governor, Andy Beshear, his father was once the lieutenant governor of Kentucky. It also happened 201 days after his birthday. And funny enough, he was the 49th lieutenant governor, whereas the current mayor's 49 years old. The day of the shooting, they were going with the headline, 4 dead, 9 injured. The shooting came 49 days after Mitch McConnell's age, and that's just another recurring pattern. Gun control equals 49. At the beginning of the stream, you brought up 33. Again, it happened in District 33 at Building 333, exactly 33 weeks after the mayor's birthday. And like you said, you just learn some of these numbers. You'll see how repetitive they are in terms of how they're ritualistically used to create what we call the news, which ends up shaping our, maybe I should say our, because it might not shape your, in my opinion, because we see through the propaganda, but for the masses who don't see it, it's these stories, these encoded stories that end up shaping their worldview and then their behavior and then the agendas that they march along to. But again, what I'm trying to get people to realize is that you can see through the ritualism if you learn the numbers and their meaning and what societies and orders they belong to. Again, in the case of 33, words like masonry, order, secrecy, federal, police. In Louisville, the shooting's in District 33, exactly 33 weeks after the mayor's birthday, at Building 333. Last time I spoke to you, we were talking about Nashville, where the shooting was at Building number 33, where 33 teachers were employed, and it was 3 adults, 3 children killed. We're just a day past the anniversary of the New York subway shooting of last year, where they said 33 shots were fired. And again, it was an underground railroad shooting on the anniversary of the start of the American Civil War. It seems like every year they have a racial joke on that day, April 12th. They blamed it on an older black man, the subway shooting where the cameras just happened to be out. This year, sadly, what happened is a former basketball star for the LSU Tigers dropped dead on the 102nd day of the year, right after the women's LSU team just won the championship with 102 points. And in gematria, slavery equals 102. Thus why the American Civil War, which had a lot to do with slavery, began on the 102nd day of the year, when news is contrived by the numbers. And it goes back to what Lincoln said. Lincoln said that without the sinister influence of the Jesuits, there never would have been an American Civil War. And Confederate, When you run the alphabetic order in reverse, the word Confederate is 201. It's a reminder, January 6th, 2021, we had the insurrection, as they called it. And that happened exactly 201 days after the only Confederate statue in Washington, D.C. fell. That was of Albert Pike, which fell on June 19th or Juneteenth. The reason that statue came down was because of the protests after the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And if you're not aware, in Paris, France, which is the original home of the Jesuits, think about how the first Jesuit pope is Pope Francis when the Jesuits are from Paris, France. But in Paris, France, you had the killing of Adama Traoré, July 19th, 2016, which was the 201st day of the leap year. George Floyd was killed exactly 201 weeks later. His name in gematria, George Perry Floyd, equals 201. His killing was compared to Michael Brown's, whose name also equaled 201, who was killed in St. Louis next to the Jesuit University, St. Louis University Jesuit School. Black Lives Matter is the new movement these days. Once upon a time, it was the Black Panther Party. And if you look into the history of the Black Panther Party, all of their original meetings were in Catholic churches in the Bay Area. So, and I mean, you think about George Floyd in the Twin Cities. Well, the other twin city is St. Paul. To show you how Catholic it was with George Floyd, he was pulled out of a Mercedes-Benz ML320 and killed in front of police cruiser 320. Roman Catholic Church equals 320, and why that number is significant to them is because they've celebrated the birthday of Jesus since 320 AD on Christmas Day. For the record, they've celebrated the sun in the sky's birthday on that day since 274 AD, and their Jesuit motto, Jesus Hominum Salvator, equals 274 forwards. If you run it in reverse, the motto equals 266, like how Pope Francis is the 266th pope and the first Jesuit. And that is a difference of 46 years between 274 AD and 320. 46 years were Catholics, 46, kind of like Joe Biden number 46, elected 46 weeks after the Pope's birthday, after he lost his son Beau Biden at age 46. And for the record, when Beau Biden died, he died 201 days before the Pope's birthday, Pope Francis, the first to live in Suite 201. And the Jesuit priest who did the funeral for Beau Biden at age 46 did the inauguration for Joe Biden as number 46 on January 20th, a date written 20/1, like 201 in the majority of the world, which also happens to be the 201st day of the U.S.'s age each year, if you measure from July 4th. The Jesuit priest and former head of Georgetown who did the funeral and inauguration, his name, Leo Jeremiah O'Donovan, equals 201. The 201, it's deep. If you look into the establishment of the CIA, September 18th, 1947, it was established on the Pope's 201st day of his age, the sitting Pope at the time, Pope Pius. And the words in the CIA's logo, Central Intelligence Agency, United States of America, equal 201. And to be clear, gematria, there's four ciphers you want to know. The alphabetic order in reverse, as we discussed, and then both orders using numerology. So each letter is compressed to a single-digit number. So A would still be the first letter. Z, the 26th letter, when you use numerology, becomes 2 plus 6 is 8. So you just make each letter a single-digit number. Y, the 25th letter, would be 2 plus 5 is 7. But if you write out Central Intelligence Agency, United States of America, the words in its logo, it's 201. And their motto, which is the work of a nation, the center of intelligence, also equals 201 when you just run the alphabetic order in reverse and use numerology. And that 201 number, it really does go back to the beginning of the nation. James Madison, who wrote the Constitution, 201. Chief Justice John Jay, the first Supreme Court head justice, 201. I could get into what they did with overturning Roe versus Wade in the past year. The name of the case, 201. And it just goes on and on and on. Ketanji Brown Jackson made the nominee 201 days from her birthday after Breyer, who she replaced, announced he was retiring 201 days from his birthday. And funny enough, he also has the same August 15th birthday as the Jesuit order. Once you're aware of it, if you just pay attention, you measure from birthdays. ritual after ritual, this number showing up. I've been trying to get the knowledge of 201 into a 50-page book for about 2.5 years, or just a really condensed, information-packed read, and I have not been able to pull it off because as I'm doing it, there's always just some new story that just happened. I'm just like, I feel like this one. So it's been this never-ending project to try and figure out how to write the 50-page book about 201, and really it's a book that needs to be about, you know, 2001 pages. So it might end up being that instead of my plan of a 50-page book, but this 201 number shows you, again, the society that is behind the manipulation of the minds in this nation, from 9/11 to pretty much all the mass shootings to things like COVID, and the list goes on.
Thank you for going into detail there, Zach Hubbard. And 201, I would say the fact that it just keeps coming up again and again while you're writing the book is a good sign. I think that's a good sign. Could you please tell listeners what type of interference you've encountered, such as visits from the government or strange people at your live events, especially because you're talking to a lot of people about this topic?
Sure. So, again, as I talk about this, I wouldn't want anyone to hear this and think like, oh, well, that's going to be the reason that I don't speak out, because I don't want that to happen in my life. Because, I mean, fear is controlling a lot of people, and it's already keeping a lot of people from speaking out. But I will share this, some of these things that have happened to me, and it could deter you from speaking out, which, again, I really hope it doesn't. But at the same time, I'd like you to realize that I've been dealing with these kind of things for a long time, and I'm still here, and I'm still speaking out, and it has caused some problems in my life. Again, so many people think that if they speak out, they're going to die or they're going to be assassinated. Again, I'm not sure that's the case unless you've signed on the line with one of these gangs and gone against your oath. But anyhow, here's the kind of stuff I've had to deal with. So I've been speaking out. Well, I really have been speaking out since I was 18 years old where I could. But I've been doing this work, exposing this knowledge and code, since 2013. And I found myself with my first bit of trouble about a year into the research. There was a mass shooting in the national news at Marysville Pilchuck High School in 2014, which is just north of Seattle, which is where I was living at the time. It was about a 20-mile drive from my house. I was living in Bothell, Washington at the time, if you're familiar, suburb of Seattle. Right away in the news, the thing they were reporting at the time is that the shooter was a football player, and he wore the number 33, and he had a fascination with the number 33, and I just thought, oh boy, here we go again with the same old numbers, which we've talked about 1,000 times since. But I went up to the school to see if I could get any kind of answers, and when I got up to the school, it was taped off, and there were police on the perimeter with their cars and police standing around. You know, I was trying to get some information, and nobody had any information. It's an ongoing investigation. At the time, I had my own business. It was a medical marijuana delivery business. And it was just days later where I had a really strange thing happen. I was driving to a delivery in Kirkland, Washington. Again, I live in Bothell. Had a big shop, had a big grow on the property. So we were running a lot of the business out of my property. But on the way to a customer in Kirkland, I had a black SUV. This is nighttime. I was driving on a 25 mile per hour road, one lane each way, and I was near the customer's home, and the SUV drove in the opposite direction lane past me, probably drove 100 feet ahead of me, and then slammed on the brakes and just stopped in the middle of the road. And I didn't know what to think. I didn't know if it was, you know, some kid who had his parents' car and was just messing around. And so I drove up slowly behind it and then waited there, but it wasn't moving. So I tried to drive around the SUV. And when I did that, it just pulled ahead and drove further up the road and then hit the brakes again. I thought, okay, they're playing some kind of game. So once again, I tried to pass, and this time they drove, and where they drove to was my customer's house, and they parked right in front of my customer's house before I could get there. So I was like, well, wait a minute, is my customer messing with me? And I noticed nobody got out of the SUV, so I called my customer to see what was going on, if he knew anything, and he said no. He said, you want me to come out there and deal with it? I said, no, I don't want you to come out here. I got out and went up to his door and made the delivery and talked to him for a little bit like I always did. And when I came back out to go back to my vehicle, the SUV just peeled out and went flying off down the road, and I don't know where it drove to. But I had some more deliveries, and then when I got back to my house that night, my house on the side of it had an RV park. I never had an RV, but the previous owner did, and it had a double door gate, and I always just kept it closed and had kind of a metal stake on both sides to keep the doors shut so they didn't blow open with wind. And it never came open. I mean, I didn't have really a reason to open that gate. But when I got home, they were both all the way open and pushed back. Somebody had plugged in an old microwave into the side outlet, which also kind of gave me the creeps because I was thinking, what is this? I'm like, this isn't a bomb. I called up my buddy who didn't live too far away, and I just said, hey, I had this weird thing happen when I was out on the road tonight. Now I get back to my house and the gate's open. I said, will you just stay on the phone with me? It's probably about 11:30 at night that I'm getting home. So I had him stay on the phone while I just walked around to see if any doors or windows were open. And then he didn't think I should open the microwave, but I said, I'm just going to do it. And I opened it and it was nothing. It was just like, that was November 8th, the day that that happened. And it was shortly after I just visited Marysville Pilchuck to see about the shooting. Again, I didn't get any information. Nobody talked to me. But it was exactly 7 days later, November 15th, that I came home and my front door was kicked open and my house had been raided and everything of value had been taken. A lot of things were broken and trashed and flipped over and place was a total wreck. The grow was sabotaged. Everything of value was taken. It was, I don't even want to talk about how much money I lost that day. You can't deposit money from the cannabis business. So we had a safe and the safe was taken out of the house. It's like a moving team had come through. Anyhow, never had any problems like this with the business, which had been operating for a good long while, until just shortly after going to investigate Marysville Pilchuck. So I still think to this day that what happened with that had everything to do with me going and getting somewhat involved with trying to get to the bottom of what was really going on with the shooting. Since then, I've dealt with a lot of things, just weird stuff sent to my mailbox. As you mentioned, August 21st, 18, which was years later, it was after I moved. I moved out to Yakima, Washington. My significant other was going to school out here, so we moved to Yakima, and it was a month after we had moved out here. We had the FBI come to our door, and when they came, they asked if they knew why they were at my place, and I said, I imagine it has something to do with the work I do online, but I don't know why you're here. And they said, well, it's because of something you said, and I said, well, what did I say? And they said, well, here's what you said. They said, you quoted in one of your uploads on YouTube, let's get all of the guns and kill all of the Jews. And I laughed at them and I said, I've never said that in my life. And they said, oh, I have the proof right here. And I said, well, then show me the proof because I know I've never said that. So he had his cell phone with him and he was flipping through his phone. He said, Man, I had it on here. He said, I might have left it at the office, and he kept playing with his phone for a while. Eventually, he said, oh, I thought I had it on the phone, but I guess not. He said, I'm going to go back to the office, and then I'm going to bring it to you because you did say it. And I said, okay. I said, I don't expect you to come back. Well, he did not come back, but he did send me an email later that night, and he emailed me a video that I had put up in 2017, about a year and 3 months before they came to my door. What I said in the video is, I said, let's use our Second Amendment rights. And I said, let's burn this federal capital to the ground. And I explained that, it's just a source of terrorism. I said, I always remind people that the original definition of terrorism is government by intimidation. And that's exactly what we have for a government in this nation. But yeah, they totally distorted what I said, which was about taking down the federal city, and turned it into something anti-Semitic, which I never said, and thus why he could not produce the proof that I ever said that. But it really felt that they came to the house just to intimidate. And in the months before that, I had not been uploading to YouTube. It was the only time where there was months that I was not uploading to YouTube. And what had happened is, for people who are not familiar, if you have a YouTube account, you have to use a phone number to be able to upload videos that are longer than 15 minutes or to do live streaming. And it allows you to make about 3 accounts per phone number. And I happen to pay for my phone, my significant other's phone, my dad's phone, my mom's phone. So I had all these different phone numbers to use for accounts. And I've gone through a lot of accounts because I get deleted and censored all the time. Just in the last 2 days, I've had two of my channels suspended for content that was from 2021, which is something Google likes to do, just suspend you for videos that have been existing for 2 years. Again, I had not been able to upload because at the time I didn't feel like paying for another phone line. And when I moved to Yakima, we did get a different phone line for the house, so then I had a new number. So I hadn't been posting online for about 3 months, and then within weeks of getting the new account set up and posting again on Yakima, I got the FBI knocking at my door. The other thing that was funny about the day the FBI came to my house, if you look up where the FBI office is in Yakima, which is a small town in central Washington, it's very close to where the head school district office is. And I am a certified school teacher, and that used to be my profession. And I was thinking about getting back into teaching, and I'd been offered a job at a middle school in Yakima when we first moved there. And then I got a letter in the mail a couple weeks after the job offer, rescinding the offer, and the letter said that I was not eligible for employment in the district. And I couldn't get a response back, but then finally I got a meeting with the head of the school district. And I had actually just had the meeting that day, and they told me that the reason that I couldn't be hired was because of things I had said in videos online, which is sad because the way I say it, all I've ever done is speak truth to power and really information that children should have so they can see what kind of nation they're really living in. It was shortly after I got back from that meeting with the head of the school district that I had the FBI come to my house. So I kind of felt like those things were connected as well. And other things that have happened over the years. Christmas Eve 2016, before the FBI thing, when I was still living in Bothell, another YouTuber, I won't even say their name because they've caused a lot of problems in my life, they put out a threat for me and told me to watch out for Christmas Eve 2016. Something about, you know, I better look out for my numbers that day. And I happened to be 33 years old at the time then. And what ended up happening on Christmas Eve 2016 was I had a car crash through two walls of my house, and it caused a massive nightmare. Then I got to deal with insurance for about 5 months before we finally reached a settlement, and I still ended up having to pay for over $10,000 of the damage. To this day, I don't think that was an accident that happened on Christmas Eve.
There was one incident that you referenced where somebody came up to you and gave you an envelope. Can you talk about that?
Last year, I went to Oklahoma City for the anniversary of the bombing, and I got into town a few days before. I actually got into town April 15th. It was Jackie Robinson Day, now that I think about it. I wanted to go to the Oklahoma City Bombing Museum. As I was approaching the front door, a security guard came up to me. I didn't even make it into the building. And I didn't have my phone out. I wasn't doing anything. I was just walking up to the building. And he asked if I was Zachary Hubbard. And I said, yes. And he immediately put his hands on me and was shoving me in the backwards direction, saying, I need to get off the property. And I was like, whoa. I said, you don't need to put hands on. And I wanted an explanation for what was going on. And then he got on his radio, and then more security came. And then a bigger guy came who was even more hands-on. And the guy who was shoving me at first is about the same size, so he couldn't push me that well. But then they brought out a bigger guy who could shove me. And anyway, he just said their boss had said that, you know, to be on the lookout for me. And when I came, to make sure I wasn't allowed on the premises. I think it was the next day. In the days leading up to April 19th, I was just, you know, out on the street making videos, just documenting things, talking about the Mace. By the way, we were talking about 201. If anyone wants to look this up, there's a Masonic lodge directly behind the memorial where the bombing happened, and it shows that the last time it sold, the building sold for $201,000. Go figure. Again, I was talking about all the 201s and the Oklahoma City bombing on Ignatius Loyola Day. But I didn't realize that until I got there. So I was doing research like that, just around the building and documenting things. Oh, I was actually talking to another young guy who came out there to meet me, and he just stuck a manila envelope in my chest. And I opened it up, and I read it, and it was some threatening thing about how I'd be arrested if I used any loudspeaker or megaphone to educate people about the stuff I talk about. What was funny is the Oklahoma City police, they came out. I called them myself. I wanted them to take a look at this letter because the guy walked in the direction. There's a federal building now, kitty corner from where the museum is, and the guy who did that, he walked kitty corner towards that building, and I think he went in there. But I called up the police and had them look at it and asked if it was true that if I used a speaker to educate, which was the plan. That's what I do. For people who don't know, that's what I do. I go to cities and I speak out and try and wake people up to what's going on. I was just doing it in Seattle just the other weekend, and the video's already been taken down by YouTube. Go figure. But I called the police and asked them about what the information, the thing he printed out with all the laws and highlighted sections, and I had the police look at it, and they said, yeah, we will arrest you. So I thought, wow. And that's weird, because, I mean, there's never been a city before where I wasn't able to speak out or threatened of being arrested just for using a loudspeaker. But then what was frustrating is when I got back to my hotel, each day I had just been walking from my hotel to the memorial. It was about a mile and a half walk. When I got back to my car at the hotel, I don't know if it was the same guy, but if it wasn't the same guy, it was part of the same thing, because they put the same type of manila envelope with the same piece of paper inside, and they put it on my windshield of my car, which means they found out where I was staying and what car what car was mine. But not only did they put it under the windshield wiper, and this is what made me doubt it. I was like, are these the feds or is this something else? They keyed the hood of my car so bad, just all over the place. And if that's the feds, it's like, God, even keying my car? But yeah, that did also happen last year. And then, like I said, there's been other things, but I try to forget about the negative stuff, because my significant other over the years, she's gotten really frustrated. And actually, when the FBI came to my house, she begged me to stop doing this. Anyway, I refuse to quit, because I can't stand watching these tyrants get away with the stuff they get away with each day. And I feel like if they scare me out of the mission, then, I just feel like that's not what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to get intimidated and give up.
Right, indeed. And the other aspect here is that it's confirmation in a way that you're over the target, for sure. Well, Zach, there are times when the corporate-owned media output of bizarre negative stories reaches an artificial fever pitch. And you know that's designed to destabilize the population. The events, such as a mass shooting or major catastrophe, had in the past defined a generation or at least a year. There was a time for a band to write, produce, and distribute the song Ohio, for example, about the Kent State University murders in 1970. Now the flow out of the corporate media is a rapid-fire psychological assault. What are your thoughts about the strength of these nefarious events that fall in line with multiple coded patterns, which are then forced on a population and filtered through the consciousness of millions? And how, in your view, can decoding events through numerology provide useful insight for actionable resistance against tyranny?
Yeah, again, I come back to just the language. Words like spells, spelling. We use the word spelling to describe the forming of words, and then spells relates to magic. And I think I touched on this in our last stream, but the dark half of Kabbalah, where gematria comes from, is the Klipoth, which is about sorcery and spell casting and having influence over others. But by the way, just to throw this in there, if anybody is not familiar with Hermeticism, there's seven Hermetic principles, and I really think everybody should read the seven Hermetic principles. They're short, but they're profound. They're statements that you can read in a matter of minutes, but they're things you can think about for the rest of your lifetime. And one of the Hermetic principles is essentially about that there's one of two things happening. You're either being influenced or you're doing the influencing. And the majority of our society is constantly being influenced. And the majority of us are being influenced at this day and age through screens. We're hearing the same stories, the same talking points. From all these different sources, we're getting the same ideas in our head. We're being told that we're only good citizens if we all act in this way uniformly. I mean, in the time of the pandemic, we were all told we were bad people. We weren't true adults if we weren't getting vaccinated. You know, I think Gavin Newsom said, you know, if you're not vaccinated, you're the same as a drunk driver who puts everyone at risk. Again, another Jesuit. But there is a cabal that is attempting to control our minds. what I do know is from teaching this information, there's a lot of people who completely just dismiss it and will not listen because the training from the school system, from the government for all these years, the indoctrination, they just won't hear it. But at the same time, there are other people who found the work and said, wow, these redundant patterns do show me that there's an agenda, and I can see who the agenda is coming from, and now I can see who's trying to control me. And I continue to put out the work for all the people like that who can be reached. Once upon a time, I read Malcolm Gladwell's The Tipping Point, and it's been years since I read it, but I remember he makes a point about a 20% threshold, that if you can get 20% of a group of people to come to an understanding, that 20% then influences, I forget what the next percentage is, but the next 40% who are in a position where, again, their minds can be changed. And from that 20%, you can essentially turn a group to have a different type of majority opinion. And I don't know if that's exactly true or not, but I just remember reading that, and it's kind of given me hope. And it's kind of the strategy I continue to work with, that if we can get a critical mass, even if it is a minority, to really understand that something's going on in the world, that group could then spread it to the larger population, and then maybe eventually we can overcome what's taking place in our society right now, where essentially everybody's being controlled by the fearmongers who control the screens.
So you're saying awareness will then lead to an insight, and then there's actionable resistance against tyranny?
That's what I'm hoping, yes, yes.
Okay, yeah, I was curious about the bigger picture of your efforts and what you're thinking people will do with this information after having it really seep into their subconscious, and they can't look at the television or hear any kind of media without seeing through the numerology, basically. This wave of information that springs from one event, such as a bank collapse or food manufacturer fire, can overwhelm a person because it may have multiple connections and repeating numerology, tracking back to numbers, symbolizing the same perpetrators. What are your thoughts on this information causing some to have emotional or psychological problems processing this data?
Do you mean that in the way that somebody, you know, that for all their life they've been believing in the American system, and then the government's looking out for them, and the news media has their best interests, and then all of a sudden they found this new set of information that's making them go, well, wait a minute, are they actually attempting to manipulate me and essentially use and abuse me? Is that how you mean that?
I do, but I think, as you pointed out in the Malcolm Gladwell example, that you're going to reach a certain percentage, and of course it will not be 100% or near that, but you will reach people who may be overwhelmed with this and may not be able to process that. I'm sure that at times you will be bombarded with multiple stories, and you'll see all the connections at this point, and you back away, and you're like, wait a minute, this is insane. Look what they're doing now. Just some basic emotional and psychological problems, maybe with some of your viewers. Nothing major, but I'm sure it does cause some kind of intensity when they're processing it.
Sure. I recently had a conversation with the gentleman, and he told me a story about, a lot of people found my work through Kobe Bryant. And by the way, before I answer the question, just to throw some more 201s at you, you might recall Kobe Bryant died right after coronavirus was confirmed in the U.S., the first case outside of China, and Kobe Bryant was buried in Corona Del Mar as we were starting to get the headlines about coronavirus. And funny enough, from his birthday, August 23rd, to the day they declared the pandemic was 201 days later, and you might recall also before Kobe's death, the other big story out of Southern California was on the 4th of July, we had the massive earthquake in that region where the epicenter was on the military base, China Lake, and from the day of that earthquake to the first case of coronavirus being confirmed in the U.S., that was also 201 days later. But anyway, coming back to what you actually asked me, A gentleman recently revealed to me that, you know, he was sound asleep until he found my work on Kobe Bryant dying at age 41 on the Pope's 41st day of his age while traveling from Catholic Mass. Again, in gematria, Kobe Bryant equals 41. Big number with his career. But he said it made him suicidal. And he said he actually, because his whole worldview was just thrown upside down, and he realized that there was like this evil force and sports were rigged and he'd been believing it. He said he actually made a suicide attempt, but it failed. He tried to take a bunch of pills and luckily somebody got to him and he got a stomach poke. But it just, listening to that made me feel sad, and I just wondered how many other stories there might be like that from people who found my work and it flipped their reality upside down. And I realize, I mean, that's a traumatic thing, obviously, for a lot of people to go through. I've heard similar stories, not quite as extreme. It is something to be mindful of because, again, I'm not trying to make people suicidal. It's just, for me, it's just like, it's hard for me to imagine that happens to people because I guess from a young age, I've always questioned everything and I've had my doubts about authorities for all of my life and always had a problem with authority. But yeah, I guess there are certain people that they really need to be, you know, that they need, rather than just a red pill swallowed hard, if you will, they need more of a gentle massaging. And people really do have worldviews. It can cause an adverse reaction to have your whole paradigm changed. So
that in particular, it could connect with an interference or perceived interference to your own free will, as if something's pre-written, pre-scripted, then you've got you can't do anything about it. The depression or anxiety, learning about numerology and a scripted reality, and everything is written out, and you are unwittingly following something that's already drawn out for you, but you don't realize it.
I see. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, to find out that you're living out kind of a script. People will ask me that a lot, if I think that there is free will. I do think that there's free will, and like I tell people, we're living in a matrix, if you will, but it's being contrived and controlled by a cabal, and if that cabal was destroyed, I think a lot of, like, you know, without the cabal, I don't think we had a COVID pandemic in 2020. I don't think the towers came down on 9/11. I don't think we have nonstop... Again, for people, I'd also like people to understand that the reason I really do this is to try and wake up the younger generations, because I always think about what it is to be a child at this day and age. I mean, imagine being a child where you're so impressionable, where you are taught to believe in all the authorities, and you're going to school thinking you could get shot any day. You can die from COVID. There's just so much fear in the world right now. It's like the fear meter is through the roof. And, you know, when you and I were growing up, it wasn't a mass shooting every week in school. And, you know, there weren't any pandemics anywhere near, you know, the level of fear that we saw with COVID. And again, this generation right now that's so young, in a matter of time, you know, they're going to be the adults in the voting class, and they're going to have been trained their whole life to vote away their rights and liberties to be kept safe. That's the norm. Yeah, free will. I do think we have free will, but I realize a lot of people start to question their free will from coming across this research. Instead of that being the reaction and thought, I'd like for more people to think like, okay, I see that there's this agenda and I don't like it, and I want to figure out how to get my fellow people to see it, and let's all do something about it, and let's come up with the best idea for how to do something about it. So that's my real goal.
Would you explain, please, how the gematria cipher could work with languages other than English?
Yes. So it's originally in Hebrew, at least as far as we know at this day and age. Was there ever an alphabet before Hebrew that had it? Possibly. But if you look into it right now, they say it traces back to Hebrew. Hebrew has a 22-letter alphabet where every letter is also a number. That's understood within all those who learn Hebrew. So Hebrew is the original letter and number system. Ancient Greek, also the same. Every letter was a number. Where it's a gematria in Hebrew, it's referred to as isopsephy in Greek. You know, over the years, I have not studied any other alphabets. I've studied a little bit of the Hebrew letter and number system and Greek system as well. But I have not personally looked into other languages such as Spanish or French. But I've gotten emails from people who've looked into the, you know, the words and adding a numerical sequence to it. And there are people who've looked into their own languages and made some really interesting observations, including some overlaps with English and just the numbers that are behind the words. Roman numerals. So that's another connection we have with letters and numbers is Roman numerals. But as I was saying, it wouldn't surprise me if several alphabets have a numerical sequence behind them. It would. In fact, if I had to just guess blindly, I would assume they did.
Well, I was curious about that, Zach, because I was thinking, hey, are there other gematria ciphers out there for different languages? And maybe there are that we don't know about yet.
Yeah, I imagine the answer is yes.
Well, Zachary Hubbard, I want to thank you again for being on In Other News, and especially for going into detail about the interference that had happened to you. Appreciate that, because I think that does give or lend a lot of importance to the work that you do. Could you tell listeners, please, once again, if they want to follow your work or get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Yes, I do have a website. It is gematriaeffect.news. I also have a community website, which is about community building, and the hope is to help people make new friends and network within their own cities, states. That website is freetofindtruth.com, and you can be as anonymous on there as you want. You don't have to reveal any of your personal information, but you can also share as much information as you would like. And I do encourage people, maybe you don't want to put your real name on there. You want to go by whatever you want to be called online. But I would encourage people to at least use their own state or their city, just because there is a feature on there that people can come on and search and see who's using the site that's in my city and my state. They could send you a message. You could develop a correspondence. There's been some nice relationships that have come together. There's at least one marriage. So I know that, pursuing the path of truth and finding out what's going on in this world, it can be very isolating. People lose friends and family. I think anyone out there who's ever done it knows exactly how that is. So at the same time, though, there are other people out there that are probably in your community that you wish you did know, and they'd be great to have a conversation with and be a friend. So freetofindtruth.com is the website I host. It even has a nice cell phone application. If you have a smartphone, if you go to the App Store on any device and download Mighty Networks, then you just search Gematria Effect News, and it'll pull up the Free to Find Truth site. So, yeah, and of course, I'm also on YouTube. Right now, I have two channels that are on the verge of being deleted, but I have Gematria Effect News 25, 24, 23, 22. Two of those might be gone before you even hear this broadcast. I'm always making new Gematria Effect News channels because I'm always getting deleted and censored. And I'm also on Twitter, at Free to Find Truth. If you search my name, Zachary K. Hubbard, you'll find my books online. You'll probably also find all the trolls that hate me, but yeah, those are probably the best avenues to find my work.
Thank you so much for being on Another News. Really appreciate the work that you're doing and sharing that information with your viewers and listeners. I think it's really important to get this out there.
Well, thank you again for having me on, and you're also very welcome, and I really appreciate it.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have the chance. Let's face the music and dance. Soon we'll be without the moon, humming a different tune. And then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance, dance. Let's face the music and dance.